Sneaking up on 10 o'clock, it's 9 to noon radio on your home for Vikings football, FM 100.3 The Fan. Paul Allen joined by Chris Thomason. He covers the Minnesota Vikings and the NFL for the Pioneer Press and TwinCities.com. You can follow Chris via Twitter, at Chris Thomason, C-H-R-I-S-T-O-M-A-S-S-O-N. And Mr. Thomason makes his 9 to noon debut now. How are you?
I'm doing great. I think this is my first time officially at a perch. I've been a lot of places, but yeah. I can't say a perch.
This is not only a perch, it is the official exclusive Rob Brzezinski vice presidential perch. So do you feel exclusive right now?
Do I need a PSL to sit here?
No, but I'll tell you what, if the economy keeps going the way it is, you might.
Okay.
How long have you covered the Vikings for the Pioneer Press?
I got here in October 2013, so almost 2 years.
And prior to that, did you cover the NBA?
Did NBA for many years, covered the Cleveland Cavaliers when Sean Kemp was fat and before they got LeBron James. Covered the Denver Nuggets for years for the late, great Rocky Mountain News. Was a national NBA writer for AOL Fanhouse. And then the 2 years before I was here, I was doing the Miami Heat during their two championships for Fox Sports and also did some Miami Dolphins.
Did you get to know LeBron James at all?
Pretty well. He actually knows my name, you know. I saw him in Denver at a game last November. I said, hey, LeBron, how you doing? He said, hey, Chris. So, yeah. Hey, at least I can say, you know my name, and LeBron James knows my name.
Yeah, but I'm not that Paul Allen.
Okay.
I'm the wrong Paul Allen. I'm not the Microsoft Paul Allen, Chris Thomason,
yeah,
okay?
Yeah, that's true. Okay.
What are the differences between covering the NBA and the NFL?
You know, basically, the NBA rhythm back before you had Twitter and blogs and everything like that was pretty good because you had kind of a game, you had an off day story. Now an NBA game day is ridiculous. They got a morning shoot around, you're tweeting all day, you're blogging all day, the coaches and the players talk you four games too, you've got the game. So NBA's probably become more crazy. It's obviously more structured. I mean, I pretty much know what's going to happen and when they're going to practice the entire season. You know, they're going to be off Tuesday. They're not going to be off Saturday. You know, yep. In the NBA, covering it media-wise, I mean, there were times with the Miami Heat where you wouldn't know if they were going to practice the next day until, like, 1 a.m., you know, after their plane landed from a road trip, you know, and then they would send it out. So you're like, till 1 a.m., you don't know, you know, if they're practicing even the next day. So much more structured in the NFL, and you know, pros and cons, obviously. If a team's not going well and they're dragging toward the end of the season, and it's like, oh, you got to write stories all week, what am I going to write this week? But then again, if there's a lot of stories and the team is doing well and what have you, you know, sometimes you relish all those different days to write stories during the week and, you know, look for interesting angles and interesting people to talk to.
Today is a media day at organized team activities as the media begins to trickle in now. What do you look for, whether it's TwinCities.com, the Pioneer Press, tweeting or whatever? Chris, what do you look for at organized team activities?
Well, right now I'm looking at Captain Munnerlyn in a boot because
right.
We didn't know about that. I think you'd be honing in more during the season, maybe, you know, on exactly who's participating and who's not. I mean, I don't think there's too many injuries now that are going to keep somebody out for the next game in August. But you're kind of looking at who's working at the offensive line spots. I mean,
yep.
Last week it was kind of interesting because you've got Phil Loadholt. He's been limited coming back from the pec injury. And Brandon Fusco, obviously coming back from a similar injury, but his happened a couple months earlier.
Yep.
You wanted to kind of see how much he was getting in there. And it was interesting to see, you know, the various people. They were kind of rolling through at left guard last week, you know, the Carter Bykowskis of the world. And you're kind of seeing where they put people, especially on the offensive line, because that seems to be the place where they're moving guys around. I mean, they're not lining up Mike Wallace at running back, so you don't have to worry about that, but kind of things like that.
What has your experience been so far having worked with Mike Zimmer?
You know, I think it's been great so far. I think he has been honest with us, and You know, sometimes he'll have a maybe he'll say he was too honest, like there was the game last year where he talked about there's going to be fines and all that kind of stuff, and they backed off a little bit on it yesterday, the next day. But, hey, that was okay with us. It made good copy the day that he said it. But, you know, he's been kind of straightforward, and he's been honest. And the good thing is, you know, some coaches, you ask him about a player, oh, yeah, he's doing great. Oh, yeah, he's doing, you know, he's doing fine, all that, give you the cliche throwaway line. I mean, basically, Mike, you know, he's not going to rip a player, but he's going to be honest. I mean, why isn't David Yankee playing last year? Well, you know, he needs to get stronger. I mean, basically, he's going to be honest, and he's going to give you a real reason, just not sugarcoat it and say, well, you know, we got plenty of alignment. He just hasn't gotten his opportunity yet or anything.
Vikings beat writer Chris Thomason on the 9 to noon radio show from Winter Park in Eden Prairie, looking at Vikings organized team activities. Again, you can follow him via Twitter at Chris, ChrisTomasson. In your time in Miami, before you came here to cover the Minnesota Vikings, did you perchance run into Mike Wallace or get a chance to work with Mike Wallace at all when he was catching passes for the Dolphins?
Yeah, he arrived in 2013 as a much ballyhooed free agent, and I was there until early October till I took the job here. So I got a couple months of dealing with him in training camp and had several one-on-one interviews with him, and I always found that he was great to deal with. I mean, I was talking to him about a story on LeBron James, and he was giving me some great stuff about he thought LeBron could step right in and be a play tight end in the NFL right now. I mean,
yeah.
And he was totally serious. He wasn't just selling me a bill of goods. So my dealings with Mike were great. And then, you know, he ran into the various controversy after I left. So I obviously don't know what transpired last year. So when he says, you know, he's going to work hard and what have you, and it's a fresh start and he doesn't foresee any problems, I mean, I believe him because I didn't see any when he initially got to Miami. I'm not sure what, you know, transpired late in his tenure there.
Who do you think is the most valuable overall player for the Minnesota Vikings? You can think about it for a second. The most valuable overall player who will make this final 53.
Well, do I got to pick Adrian Peterson?
You can if you want, but I mean, say Adrian only plays for 2 or 3 years. I might think Harrison Smith or Anthony Barr or Teddy Bridgewater. Adrian might be the easy answer, but I mean, I guess it would be the best overall player that you would want now and also want to have for a little bit.
Well, you have to go with Teddy Bridgewater, man. I was listening to Ben Lieber driving over talking about quarterbacks and what have you. I mean, there just aren't those quarterbacks, those long-term type guys. And if you look at the Vikings' history, other than Fran Tarkenton, have they had a really super long-term quarterback who's there year after year after year? I mean, not really. I mean, Dante Culpepper had his moments, but, you know, it was maybe for half a decade or so. You know, Tommy Kramer had a few good seasons. But if Teddy Bridgewater can become that guy, you know, at least 10, 12, who knows, 15 years at the quarterback position, I mean, you just don't see that from a lot of teams, and with the dearth of quarterbacks out there, I mean, you got to go with Teddy.
What were your thoughts on the way the Adrian Peterson press conference went down on Tuesday?
I thought he handled himself pretty well. I thought he was very thoughtful with his answers. He expanded upon them. He maybe looked a little uncomfortable when he got there, and he was thinking, but he jumped into it, and I thought he really did well, and he's really put a lot of this behind him. I mean, I asked him about his agent, Ben Dograt, coming out in March and saying it'd be better if he were to play elsewhere.
Yep.
At first, he kind of just said, well, he was just doing his job. But then I pressed him on it, and rather than just give me another short answer, I mean, he was honest. I mean, he didn't say, you know, like, oh, he didn't know what he was talking about or say anything like that. I mean, he admitted he didn't really know what he wanted. I mean, probably there was some point in there he didn't want to be here because his agent wouldn't have said it so forcefully otherwise, but he admitted he didn't know what he wanted, and he kind of expanded upon that. So I thought it was a pretty good job overall by Adrian.
Yeah, tell me what you think of this, Chris, because my take after this whole thing went down is, given there's no state income tax in Florida or Texas, guess what? 75% of the league probably wants to play for a team in Florida or Texas, but it's just not that easy. You can't hand this. Is not fantasy football. you can't hand pick exactly where you want to go, you know?
Yeah, but he's still under contract for a darn high amount, the highest paid running back in the league. I know there's some uncertainty about the year after this. I mean, obviously, he's going to be around this year with the $12.75 million. And sure, he wants some of it guaranteed in the future. But you know what? If he plays up to his capabilities and he's going to be fired up. I mean, I was talking to Chuck Foreman recently, and he said he thought he was going to come out like a bat out of hell is what he was going to say. And if he's a bat out of hell, then he'll certainly earn his money in future seasons here.
What are you looking for once completely healthy from Matt Khalil this offseason up to the preseason and regular season?
I think he'll bounce back. I mean, I've talked to him a couple times, and his attitude and his confidence really seem great. I mean, he was definitely hurting more than we believed. I mean, Mike Zimmer touched upon that with the media a few weeks ago. I asked Mike about Matt, and he said, you know, he was honest that this guy was really hurting. He was hurting more than we probably knew last year. He said there was even a game where they didn't know that he was going to make it. But he seems a lot healthier. I mean, you guys talked earlier in the show about the left side of the line being strengthened, Brandon Fusco moving over there. Charlie Johnson obviously had an off season, and you know that's evident. Nobody's even signed him to anything. He's still out there as a street free agent. So having Fusco alongside him, if he's definitely the guy left guard, is going to help, and I think he'll have a bounce back year.
With the Adrian Peterson talker behind us now, what are some of the big Vikings-related offseason talkers? Like, that was the thing that always was hovering above us. And I know, you know, you did a lot of work with, you know, you have a pipeline to Adrian's dad, Nelson. So we got a lot of thoughts there. All of us talked about Adrian, either wrote about it, talked about it, or whatever, because it was hovering over the off-season activities. Well, now that's gone. So, like, what are the A talkers for this team?
I don't know if there's a dominant they've kind of seemingly settled what might happen at left guard until they make another change. I mean, some of the sub points obviously are at wide receiver. Cordarrelle Patterson, is he just going to start the season again, not as a starter? Is he going to try to fight back and win his starting job? That's certainly something to keep an eye on. I mean, what's going to happen at the other cornerback spot except alongside Xavier Rhodes? I mean, is Trey Waynes going to step right in and be the starter? I mean, that's really, that could even be a four-way battle, really. You got Trey Waynes, obviously, Terrence Newman, the veteran, Captain Munnerlyn, the incumbent, Josh Robinson still hanging out there. So, I mean, you know, some of the guys don't have as good a chance as others, obviously, but that's going to be quite a position battle. You know, what's going to happen at middle linebacker? I mean, they brought in Eric Kendricks, and he's a guy that certainly could start right away as a rookie, but Casey Matthews, he's going to want something to say about that. And Audie Cole, I mean, each of the last 2 years, Audie Cole has finished the season strong. He finished great in 2013,
yep.
Then didn't play much. And then all of a sudden, at the end of last year, he had a monster game right at the end of the season. So he's going to have something to say about that. So those are some of the interesting position battles to watch.
Chris, thanks for the time. I appreciate it.
Thanks.
Chris Thomason, Pioneer Press, covers the NFL and the Minnesota Vikings for the Pioneer Press and TwinCities.com. Via Twitter, at Chris Thomason, TOMASSON. Topic switch when we return. Former Minnesota Wild captain Wes Walls offers his thoughts on Stanley Cup Final Game 1 from last night. I'm Paul Allen from Minnesota Vikings Organized Team Activities in Eden Prairie. Back after this.